Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day, veterans and families, and welcome to Your Next Mission, a new program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army, and your host. Now, don't laugh about that, but I love being the host. We got a great show for you today. We're going to focus on U.S. Army Maneuver Center of Excellence at Fort Benning, Georgia, with two very distinguished guests. And as always, I'll have a couple of stories for you along the way. Now, before we get started, I just want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans, for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and we certainly love them. As I mentioned, today's theme is about the U.S. Army Maneuver Center of Excellence at Fort Benning, Georgia. I'm so excited to introduce these two leaders who are leading our soldiers at Fort Benning, Major General Patrick Donahoe, Commanding General, and Command Sergeant Major Derek Gardner. We're good. We're on a roll right now. Welcome Absolutely. To our podcast. So good to have you both here, and we're pleased to have you here. Again, I told you a few minutes ago, I'm going to say it again. I just can't thank you enough. So thanks for being on the podcast with us. We want to learn everything we can about all you're doing at Fort Benning as it relates to training our soldiers, providing leadership development, and teaching soldiers to manage their careers. But before we do that, can you tell me, each of you, tell me a little bit about yourself, sir? We're going to start with you.
Oh, you're starting with me, SMA?
I am. I'm going to try to start with you if you'll talk.
I thought you were going to start with good looking and then move back, right? So start with the Sergeant Major.
That may be true. Go ahead, sir. You're on.
I grew up in New Jersey, joined the Army because that was what I just always wanted to do since I was a little kid. I made a horrible detour, though, when I got to Villanova University, and I was actually a Navy midshipman for the first three quarters of my freshman year in college.
Shame on you.
Well, the interesting part about it was on Ash Wednesday of my freshman year, I signed out of the Navy program. So if you're a good Roman Catholic, you know that technically I gave up the Navy for Lent. And then I went off, joined the Army ROTC program, was commissioned out of there in 1989 as an armor officer. And then I've had an interesting career path, done a lot of different jobs along the way. The one thing that I really enjoyed my first 32 years in the Army is just the fact that every year or two, the Army gives you something completely new and different to do. They give you a lot of times in different places and different countries around the world. And that's, I think, what's really enamored me with the Army lifestyle. It's always a new challenge with new people and allies and partners from around the world doing incredibly difficult things. And that's kept me engaged the whole time. So I've been blessed to live this life.
You know, I tell people all the time, you know, the smartest thing I ever did in my life was join the military. And the military was so good to me. And really, quite frankly, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but it changed my life. It allowed me to be something that I don't think I would have been if I had stayed in civilian life. So I've been blessed, and I really understand it. Sergeant Major Gardner, go ahead, buddy. Tell us all about you. You can take 55 minutes. I don't care. Tell us about yourself.
Hey, SMA, I truly appreciate you putting this in together. And hosting General Donahoe and I on this. Extremely important, and look forward to the opportunity to talk about what we do down here in Fort Benning. So I've been in Army for 25 years. I'm from the great state of Louisiana. From the great state of Louisiana, down in New Orleans. Joined the Army back in Fort January of 96, and I wanted to do something that was tough. And I asked my recruiter, like, what was something that was going to push me every day and make me proud to be called it? He said, I got the perfect job for you. It's called infantryman. I'm like, okay, well, roger that. So I remember seeing the Black Hawks flaring in on the Be All You Can Be commercials for the Army back in the day. And I said, saw the Rangers jump out and start shooting. I said, roger that. That's what I want to do. So for January, I'm in Fort Benning and I start my career as a young infantry soldier in Alpha Company 150. And I tell you, just the opportunities, the drive, the pride, the motivation that the Army's provided me over the years of service, I tell you, I couldn't ask for a better opportunity. And I tell you, it's just really those things that I experienced when I was really young that pushed me to be the man, the husband, the father, and the leader I am today, just because of what the leaders gave to me. So, you know, just like Major General Donahoe, you know, been all over the world, doing all kinds of things for our country and our soldiers, and working with our partner countries. And I tell you, definitely blessed to be here. Didn't see this job. You know, I was a young soldier, didn't kind of do but 3 years, and here we are 25 years later. So,
you know, it's funny. Certainly. It's really funny you say that. I spent 3 years, got out for, I spent 3 years in the service, got out and stayed 2 years, and then came back in and stayed, you know, quite a bit longer after that. So,
yeah, absolutely. Awesome, man. Like I said, I was only going to do 3 years, and had a lot of good leaders, coached, mentored me, and encouraged me. And, you know, 25 years later, here I am as a, you know, maneuver set of excellence in Fort Benning CSM. You know, what a blast. What a great job to have.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I'd add to that is that I think we'll never do it in our country. No question about that. But I think everybody ought to serve in the military, whether or not. I love the Army more than anything else. I love all services. But going in and going in the military, I think, is really neat. And it changes your life, and it makes you grow up. It makes you be the adult that you are. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, really. It gives you purpose of life. I loved every second. And it was the best job I did ever have. There's no question about that. Sir, can you tell the audience about, you know, what's new with the Maneuver Center of Excellence, you know, these days? What's going on?
Yeah, SMA, that's a great question, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about what's old, what we continue to do. And
be careful about that old thing. I'm old, so.
Well, you know, the one thing that you said here that's going to get me in trouble already is that the smartest thing you ever did was join the Army. If I say the same thing, my dinner will be cold. There will be no conversation. Smartest thing I ever did was marry Teresa. And then a distant second was join the Army.
Well, let me re-clarify that just a little bit. There's three things that I tell people. The first, you know, three things in my life changed. God, my family, and the Army. And those three things in that order, I think, have really put things in perspective. And I've been probably married a lot longer than you have been married, 51 years, and the key to success in my life is my marriage. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Man, that's awesome. Hey, so, yeah, so what's old at Fort Benning? What we've always done for the Army. You know, we are the largest training installation in the Department of Defense. We train over 60,000 soldiers, Marines, Airmen, Air Force, Coast Guard, and over 100 nations worldwide send their soldiers and leaders here to be trained at Fort Benning every year. And so that's an incredible testament to what we do. Again, over 60,000 folks will go through 68 different schools that we have here on the installation and be trained here this year, and then go back to their units, go back to their countries, and really be much better for having experienced the Benning way. And that's been pretty incredible. The other thing we do at Fort Benning is we do more high risk training at Fort Benning than anywhere else in the Department of Defense. So 14,000 times this year, a young man or woman is going to exit the door of a high performance aircraft with a parachute for the first time in their lives. And again, that's going to be 14,000 times this year. We're going to do that. We begin and end, you know, the United States Army Ranger School here at Fort Benning. You know, some of the most difficult military training in the world, and that occurs here at Fort Benning, and it is high risk, and it is only the fact of the professionalism of the non-commissioned officers that execute that training in those aircraft out in the swamps, up in the mountains of Dahlonega for our Rangers, and then on our Tank and Bradley ranges again. For about 1,500 times a year, we're going to shoot from some young man or woman's going to squeeze the trigger on an M1A2 SEP for the first time, and 120-millimeter main gun is going to go off right next to him. And the fact that we don't read about some horrific accident every morning in the newspaper is the absolute professionalism of the training cadre here at Fort Benning. That's what we do. That's what we always do, and that's what we continue to produce for the Army. But that's the continuum. There's all sorts of new stuff that we do, and I'll kick that to Sergeant Major Garner to talk about kind of evolution of what we're doing.
I'm going to say something real quick here. One of the things that goes on, we don't tell much about special operators in the, you know, we talk about the Rangers and the Green. I mean, all the things. We have a large special operation contingency that's in the military. And just to let you know, I jumped out of planes a long time ago. In fact, I think they had to kick me out the first time. So, Sergeant Major Gardner, you was going to say something, but if I cut you off, I don't know if I did that or not.
No, SMA, absolutely. So the CG talked about what's old, so we're going to talk a little about what's new, and I'm probably going to hear some stuff about it, but I want to talk about the Sark attack and why we don't do it anymore. I mean, you know, we've made a significant shift in the Army, specifically down here in Fort Benning, and how we, you know, receive our trainees down here. And I'm sure you've seen it. You've seen the first 100 yards and the Thunder Run. You know, the first 100 yards for the infantry side of the house, and the Thunder Run is for the armor side of the house. And I tell you, and I reflect back on my days when I was a young private going through it, hearing all the things that were said to me as a young soldier, and all the demeaning, degrading, disrespectful things that were said. And that was my very first impression as of a non-commissioned officer. Like, that's what that person is. And I tell you, seeing the shift going from where we were to where we are now, and the first thing that a young trainee hears out of his non-commissioned officer or her non-commissioned officer's mouth is, "Follow me." That's powerful.
It is.
Because now that soldier, he or she sees that professional non-commissioned officer that they hope and aspire to be someday. And those drill sergeants go through that that training event with them. And it's task-oriented. It's mission-driven. We're not separating the herd. We're not identifying a weak link. We're instilling the team mindset right from the get-go, from day zero when they get off the buses. So I tell you, if you ask me what's the most impactful new thing we're doing out here, I would offer this, you know, the way our non-commissioned officers are receiving our soldiers and setting the foundation for how our soldiers should be treated coming in, because this is not a Vietnam era type stuff we're dealing with here. I mean, it's just the right thing to do. And the other thing I'd offer you is the 22-week OSINT. I tell you, the things that our young troopers do down here in Fort Benning as trainees, the amount of shooting they do, and the CG alluded to it with the main gun on the M1. The amount of training they do, they are far, far better trained and prepared to do what our nation asked them to do than what they were when I joined the Army.
Well, Sergeant Major, let me just ask you a question here, though. COVID-19 has had an impact at Fort Benning. I mean, have you guys returned to some kind of a normalcy now as far as the vaccine and all that stuff? Is that impact? I know it impacted, but is everything going back to normal now?
So I tell you, so Fort Benning didn't slow down. We didn't stop stuff down here. You know, we still executed training. We included safety measures. We followed the CDC guidance. We followed the Secretary of Defense and the President's guidance. And, you know, we kept it moving as far as training down here, as far as on the IAT side of the house, as far as our institutional side of the house with the PME. You know, what I'm going to describe is a piece of professionalism of our NCO and officer corps. You know, for years upon years, we've been doing our PME in a face-to-face, in-classroom kind of a dynamic. And I tell you, when this pandemic hit, you know, just to see our non-commissioned officers and officers shift from a face-to-face to utilizing systems like DCS, Blackboard.com, Blackboard.mil, to get out there ensuring that our soldiers were trained and able to get promoted and leave soldiers beyond Fort Benning, I tell you, it just speaks to you know, how we're able to rapidly understand and adapt to the change in the operating environment. So I tell you, you know, in some, we did not slow down, not one doggone bit. And as the vaccine has been rolled out, it's just opening things up more and more for us down here in Fort Benning.
Yeah, you know, me and my wife, my entire family has got the shot. So, you know, I feel a lot comfortable now. I like to start travel a little bit more, but outside of slow down. Sir, one of the vital missions you had to maintain to the pandemic during basic training, I'm sure it was... I'm sure our audience is naturally associated with Fort Benning, one of the major basic training installations. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I imagine it changed a lot since I left in the early 2000s and most certainly in the early 60s when I went through basic training. Has that changed a lot?
So, SMA, let me first off correct some of your lexicon, right? It is not one of the principal basic training locations.
It is the.
We train a third of the Army here.
There you go.
Every year, third of the Army comes through here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where the Army trains. And so it is, you know, not to disparage what goes on in the other centers of excellence and at Fort Jackson, those guys have an incredible mission. But when the Army talks about training, we talk about Fort Benning. Just let me put that into some context for you. We shoot more rifle bullets here on Fort Benning than the entire 18th Airborne Corps does annually.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll say that again. We shoot more 5.56 here every year at Benning than the entire 18th Airborne Corps. So our premier light infantry corps with four divisions, we shoot more rifle than they do. We shoot more tank main gun here than the 3rd United States Armored Corps does. That speaks to the centrality that Fort Benning is to what we do as a training army, right? We provide, you know, the Sergeant Major talked about the 22-week one-station unit training for our infantry soldier, our armor soldier, and our cavalry scout, right? That 22 weeks, we provide a well-trained, physically fit, and mentally straight individual to our army and to our units out in Force Comm and around the world.
Yeah.
And we do that through an incredibly rigorous process, right? And so, you know, we talked about the impact of COVID. Sergeant Major mentioned it, right? We took a 2-week pause in March of last year to reset so that we could continue to train in a COVID environment. The Army does not have the luxury to stop training. You know, much of the country could go to their corners and sit down and try to wait this thing out. The Army couldn't do that. The Army has a national security responsibility to provide a ready, trained Army to defend the nation and to meet our national security objectives. And that is what Fort Benning retooled itself in a very brief pause of 2 weeks in March, and then got back after training the 60,000 plus soldiers we do every year. And that's incredible. What I will tell you what's changing is just like when you came in the Army SMA and the Army was coming out of Vietnam and trying to refocus itself on great power competition, right? Refocus itself on the global competition with the Soviet Union, that's the Army I came into as well when I was commissioned in 1989, an Army focused on a global competition between, you know, the United States and the Western world and its view of how to advance humanity contrary to communism and what the Soviet Union stood for. It is the same transition we are going through right now as we come out of 20 years of war, right? We'll be, you know, in this September, it'll be 20 years since the World Trade Center and the Pentagon were attacked and an airplane was forced down in Pennsylvania in a farm field, right? 20 years of that. So now what we've got to do is we were in the process of reestablishing our focus on large-scale combat operations, focusing our Army to be able to defeat our foes in an existential threat, right? So when we look at emerging adversaries around the world, it is a very, very real challenge to the American vision of what the world should be and how we will operate in that world. And that's what we're in the process of getting back to. And that's a real challenge. And so for us, it's all about getting out of the Middle Eastern mindset. It's about our cadre making sure that they understand when we talk about competition with the Chinese and competition with the Russians, we've got to make a cognitive break with our own personal experiences in the Middle East. And we've got to get ourselves mentally east of the Vistula and north of the Han.
You know, when I listen to you talk, I think to myself, where do I sign up again? I love the Army. Go ahead, sir.
When my wife hears me talk, she just wants me to stop.
Hey, well, I don't want you to stop. And the people that are listening right now in this podcast, I hope there's a lot of people out there. Our veterans, our civilians, everybody needs to listen to this conversation because there is no second best in our profession. There is no second best. We defend the country. It's about protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. We're talking with Major General Donahoe and CSM Gardner from Fort Benning, and we're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. Sir, I know leader development is a big topic in the Army and these days as well, and seeing Fort Benning is the primary installation where young leaders are trained. What has changed in the way that Army trains and develops our leaders are in the, you know, from the career on, I guess?
Yeah. So here's what I would tell you. I think we are living through a revolution in how we train our Army right now. And it's pretty exciting, right? So there's been a lot of you know, comparison to what's going on in the Army right now to 1973 when we stood up Training and Doctrine Command and stood up Forces Command and made a break with the Army structure prior to that. And then that gave us a revolution in training. I think we're in the midst of doing the same here. We are looking at the manner in which we train. We're looking at how we can use emerging technologies of, you know, augmented reality and virtual reality to help us train better. We're looking at how we get away from in our classrooms, you know, this process of, you know, coming in with a acetate board and, you know, some.
I know that stuff. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so to get into our computer systems that can help us plan and execute faster, right? So when we look at artificial intelligence, I think one of the critical components we've got to look at, and we are looking at, is artificial intelligence to aid decision makers, right? So artificial intelligence as a decision aid for commanders, right? And so that's a critical component that we'll be doing. And then we're gonna have to train with that so that we can use it better, so we can make better decisions faster on a hyperactive battlefield. And that's kind of where we're going with a lot of that. The other thing we're doing, so that's high tech, right?
The other thing we're doing is
low tech. It's, hey, what's your plan, your personal plan for self-development? So for our non-commissioned officer academy, for our basic officer course for lieutenants, our captain's course, we're filling out at the end of that course with a discussion between the soldier and that trainer. They are going through, the soldier's going through a battery of assessments, social assessments, you know, reading assessments, cognitive skills, you know, personality assessments, so that they have a better understanding of who they are, their strengths and their weaknesses. And then out of that discussion becomes a individual development plan that will bring them from that professional military education event to the next one. And normally that's, you know, 3 to 5 years away. So, hey, what do you need to do personally? So what's your individual responsibility for self-development between this course and the next course you're getting to? And a lot of that is just, what are you going to read? How are you, you know, hey, if I'm having problems with leg tucks, hey, I need to work on my core muscles and I need to do more leg tucks and I need to do more planks and I need to do, great. But more importantly, you know, the physical capability of the soldier is the price of entry. It's over time, it's the intellectual capability of the soldier that we've got to develop. You know, in the next war, you know, again, better decisions faster on a hyperactive battlefield. If you're dumb, you're going to die. And so we gotta be smart, and yep, we gotta develop the brain muscle as much as we talk about biceps and you know squats. We gotta get after that every day. Every day you're gonna do PT in the morning. What are you doing to develop your mind every day? And that's that self development piece between PME going forward. Yeah. And Sergeant Major may want to talk about what we're doing in our non commissioned officer academy as well.
Yeah, and Sergeant Major, you want to add something too? Go ahead.
No, I really wasn't going to add too much, but the CG is absolutely right. I mean, and I saw it as he was talking about it. I was starting to do a little bit of reflection, you know, as far as like, what did I do as I was transitioning from back in the day, PODC, BNOC, ANOC, and then ultimately to the Sergeant Major's Academy? Did I put forth the requisite time and effort to work towards that self-development? And the answer is truly no. You know, I focused more so on the operational stuff that I needed to do. And, you know, I called it good up until I got to the Sergeant Major's Academy. And then, you know, getting into this job, you know, I realized that I'd missed an opportunity to work on my true self-development. So I tell you, what we're doing right now is make sure that we're identifying what those key responsibilities, what those key self-developmental responsibilities are through counseling. The Army already has the IDP, the Individual Development Program, in the Army Career Tracker website. But I don't think that we did as good a job as non-commissioned officers, at least in my unit that I was in. I really didn't emphasize the importance of, you know, truly laying out what the soldier's plan was or should be, and then make sure that the leaders, you know, understood that they were part of it. I mean, this is a two-way street kind of a deal. So, I mean, it's absolutely happened in the NCO academies. I was the commandant down in the NCO Academy of Hawaii when we first started doing the individual development plan right along with Project Athena. And it just helps that leader, you know, during that break in time, it you know, breaking the time from PME to PME, to identify all those things that he or she needs to do to make sure that they're relevant as they go to the next level.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to ask the question, but I always thought counseling was really critical, making sure soldiers are counseled properly and they're counseled. Really, I always used to say every 30 days or 60 days, but sitting down and talk to your soldiers. So I got a follow-up question here for you. How about the way soldiers are really managing their careers now with that new talent management system, I guess, in the marketplace? What about that? And you both can answer that question. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hey, so let me talk from the officer side, because it's so you've got AIM 2, right, the marketplace on the officer side, and you've got Ask M on the enlisted side. I think first off, it's revolutionizing how we do assignments in the Army. And to be honest with you, I looked at that when it first came out with a little bit of angst and trepidation about, hey, what's this going to mean for us? And we went through our largest, cycle of AIM 2 about 6 months ago, as we were looking at summer assignments, right, the big move period for the Army. And what this process now gives us is it connects units and their leaders to the force in a way that was never done before. So we actually have to go into the marketplace and say, hey, this is why you want to serve at Fort Benning. This is why you want to come to Fort Benning and be a basic training company commander. This is why you want to come to Fort Benning to write the next, doctrinal manual for how we're going to fight tanks and Bradleys, against a near peer competitor. Hey, this is why you want to come to Fort Benning to train the next generation of Rangers or airborne paratroopers. And that is really powerful.
Yeah.
And what it's done is it's engaged our own soldiers in telling their story and what they do here to the next group of folks who may want to come here. What we found through that process, we got a better quality of officer to say, hey, I want to come to Fort Benning to do exactly that. And we got a more diverse group of folks saying, hey, I want to come do that. So we broke the stream of just hiring in, well, hey man, I was in the 82nd, you're in the 82nd, why don't you come follow me into this job, right? Hey, you were at 1st Armored Division, hey, come on over here and be a basic training company commander up in the 194th Armored Brigade. We were able to cast a much wider net, and we got better quality, we got more diverse experience, and we got more diverse officers coming in.
I think it's
a huge win.
Yeah, it's all about talent management. No matter where you, whether or not it's in the civilian sector or in the military, it's about talent management. Sergeant Major, considering all the recent changes in how we train and develop soldiers, what is a piece of advice you'd give an officer or a non-commissioned officer?
Wow. Be open to change.
Don't screw it up.
There you go.
No, I tell you, be open to change. The Army is an evolving organization. I don't know. I'm sitting here. I was ready to answer that question about asking him, but you kind of caught me off guard with that one there, SMA. But no, be open to change. Change is absolutely good. And hell, I don't know. SMA, you got me jacked up with that one. I thought you were going to hit me up with Ask EM.
I'll tell you what. Okay, let me talk. We're talking with Major General Patrick Donahoe and Commanding General U.S. Army Maneuver Center and Excellence at Fort Benning, Georgia, and Command Sergeant Major Derek Gardner, Command Sergeant Major at U.S. Army Maneuver Center of Excellence at Fort Benning, Georgia. And we're having a great conversation. If you're not listening, you're not learning. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
If you need a firm to fight for your brand the way they fight for your next mission, it's time to call on the Cavalry. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Please visit them at cavalryagency.com.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack Altelli, and we're blessed to be here today with Major General Patrick Donahoe and Command Sergeant Major Derek Gardner. We're at one of my favorite parts of the podcast where we get to hear from our veterans about their transition. But today we're going to do things a little bit different. I'd like to ask Major General Donahoe and Sergeant Major Gardner, what advice you could give somebody that's transitioned out of service, advice for a transitioning member from Fort Benning, what advice would you give them? Sir, we'll start with you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, SMA. You know, it's kind of interesting. When I was a colonel, I was actually stationed at Fort Benning. I was the chief of staff here, and I really thought that was going to be my last job in the Army. And so I really started, I went through the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, and I was putting together different resumes for the jobs I thought I wanted as I was going to transition. And I think the biggest piece I came to during that was I had to make certain first order decisions, right? Did I want to pursue kind of the corporate brass ring? Did I want to pursue money, right? Did I want to go after that? And knowing that if I did that, I was going to be on the road a lot. I was going to be traveling. I was going to be spending a lot of time in hotel rooms away from my family. And so I had to make a decision, hey, do I want financial, luxury, or do I want family quality time? And so as I was looking at different ways to go, I had to choose that, right? Or a job that's going to keep you in the house every night, or a job that's going to put you on the road and after money. And then the other side of it too is, do you want to go into kind of the death merchant business, right? Do you want to go out and work for the defense contractors? Do you want to do something very, very comfortable, something, a continuation of kind of military service, but kind of in a suit and tie? Or do you want to search for something completely different? You want to finally go after something you've been unable to do because you've been in uniform moving around the world. And so it was those kind of first order decisions I was going through. And then, very different than that was, what is it that your military experience brings to those on the outside, and how do you translate the military ethos, the work ethic, the loyalty, the dedication, right, to what that brings, whatever organization you're going to try to hook in with when you get out. And that, I think, is to think through those things as you transition, I think, is very important.
Absolutely. So, Rachel, same question, bud.
No, I would offer this estimate really, really along the lines with what the CG said. I mean, I'm a person who's a very deliberate kind of a guy. I'm not a guy who does things, kind of half-tell. I would offer, if you're thinking about getting out of the Army, you absolutely need to use the SFL TAP process, yeah, and all of the counselors that are in there. You can't just check the block in there. You've got to spend time with those folks, because they're going to help you, navigate this process. Because I tell you, if you've been in the Army for a minute, or maybe not a minute, but if you're a young soldier and the Army has, really given you the foundation that you needed, sometimes it's pretty daunting to get out, because it's really what you've known for the last 3 years. And I would offer, for guys who've been there for longer, that's really all you've known if you've been in the Army for 10, 15, 20, 20 plus years. So it could be a little bit daunting, maybe a little bit scary. But, yeah, I would offer that we have to take that process seriously. We have to talk to those counselors. And I would say there's also value in talking to folks that have already gone through the SFL TAP and then learn from each other as far as the experiences that we had. The other thing I would offer is that as soldiers get ready to transition out of the Army, it's critically important that you talk to the folks at the Education Center. Because that's where you can figure out, within your MOS, whatever credentialing you have, whatever education level you have, whether it's being schooling, there are certain jobs that are out there when you do the, for lack of better terms, metal crosswalk, jobs you can easily move into just based off of the things that you've done. The Army has done a great job with looking at all of the different MOSs that are out there and identifying, what those, what the civilian equivalents are, whether it be the education or, jobs that are outside. And our soldiers, they have to understand that stuff. And as leaders, we have to share that stuff with them. And that's absolutely what the SFL TAP counselors have to say. So I tell you, I know that was a mouthful.
No, that's good. That's good information. I mean, people need to hear that kind of stuff, because you hit a lot of good, both of you hit a lot of good stuff. One of the things I tell people, it took me probably a year to transition out of the Army, once I got out of the Army, because mentally I wasn't prepared to get out of the service. And it's a little bit tough, and you got to just sort of work through those issues. So I think you're right on, both of you are right on talking. I want all of our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. Tell us about topics you'd like us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134, and I'll call you back. You may not believe that, but I will call you back. Or send me an email to smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick up where we left off. You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast, and I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. We're talking to Major General Patrick Donahoe and Command Sergeant Major Derek Garner from the Maneuver Center of Excellence at Fort Benning. You know, we're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed as much as I have. And I just have a few more questions. Sergeant Major Garner, what kind of issues do you think a younger generation of soldiers are dealing with that maybe, you know, I really didn't have a few decades ago, I guess?
No, I tell you, you know, I've spent a lot of time, you know, as a senior leader, trying to peel the onion back to truly understand our soldier. And I tell you, from my perspective, you know, I don't necessarily see our soldiers with a lot of issues. Right. I've run into senior leaders that say that our soldiers that are coming in nowadays, you know, they're not as disciplined as they should be. They're not as physically fit as they could be. And in some cases, that may be true. I mean, we've got things that are going on, you know, across the country right now where, you know, we're dealing with things associated with weight. And, you know, we're trying to help soldiers and it's our civilians. You know, maybe eat a little more healthy and more physical fit, but that's really what the Army gives you. But I tell you, the trainees that I've run into are far smarter than I was when I was a young private.
I hope so.
They are. I mean, they are far, far smarter than what I can ever remember. And I tell you, they ask a lot of questions. They ask the why a lot. And I will tell you, I'm okay with that. Because when soldiers ask me the why, you know, I think about the word leadership and I think about the definition of leadership. And it's our job as non-commissioned officers and leaders at large to provide that leadership. So when I think about the why, I absolutely, you know, we talk about the purpose, direction, and motivation, right? So I absolutely see the why in purpose. You know, I absolutely see the why in direction. And I challenge a lot of leaders with, hey, when you look at the word leadership, you look at the definition, you're providing the why to your soldiers. But more importantly, you're also getting that buy-in. You're getting that ownership. You're getting that soldier feeling like he or she is part of the team. And they don't want to let you down. So I tell you, you know, I don't see a whole lot of weaknesses in our young soldiers. I mean, I see them out there. I saw a couple of units yesterday and a couple more units the day before yesterday. And I tell you, I think we're in a far, far better place right now than what we were a few moons ago. Yeah, so that's what I would offer you.
Yeah, I want every generation to be better than the last. There's no question about that. Hey, sir, final question for the members of our audience. Who may be considering a career in the military, what advice would you give them? What advice would you offer them, I guess?
Yes, sir, may I? Let me also kind of chime in on the previous question you gave, Sergeant Major, because I think there's a really significant difference between the generation that right now is coming into the Army and by an order of magnitude, the generation I came into the Army with. And it all goes back to this generation is electronically connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So that they exist in an environment where they have their entire social circle, all of the information available on the World Wide Web. That is their conduit to a reality that we did not have when we were coming into the Army. So if you can imagine the biggest difference that occurs when you get off a bus at a basic training location today is the really significant, painful event of pulling the cell phone out of the hand of a 17, 18, 19-year-old man or woman.
It's
an incredibly disconcerting event for that generation because they've never had to do that before. They've never been disconnected from the world in which they know. And so, empathetically, that is a very, very different experience than it was for our generation. And we've got to talk to, you know, our drill sergeants and our leadership about the impact of that on a young man or woman today. It's very, very different. So here's what I would tell you about somebody talking about coming into the Army today. Hey, do PT. You want to come in as physically fit as you can be. We're going to get you in better shape when you arrive. But the better you come in, you're going to be better off. I would also tell them to start reading about the military as a profession. Start learning about the Army values and what we do as a team. Because you're coming into, you know, the greatest team in the history of the world. And so you want to know about that team, how it operates and its history. as you come on, and then what we value, and those things. If you're physically fit, or on your way to being fit, or if you're mentally and morally straight, you're gonna do fine as a member of our team.
You know, so you've graced some great, both you guys have graced some great advice, and I certainly appreciate it. And I hope the people listening appreciate it too, because, you know, the Army's a great career and it'll do a lot for you. Sir Sergeant Major, any final thoughts before we wrap it up here for the audience? Anything you want to add to it? Sergeant Major, I'm going to start with you. Go ahead, Sergeant Major, any final thoughts?
No, as SMA, I'd tell you, this, I really appreciate the opportunity. This is a first for me, so... You know, I really enjoyed this, just being able to tell the Army story, at least part of my Army story, and then what we do down here in Fort Benning. And in the CG nailed it on the head. I mean, you talk about, you know, of all the jobs I've had in my life, this is the best job I've ever had. And I wouldn't trade what I've done over the last 25 years for nothing in the world. So, again, SMA, thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate it. And look forward to getting the next generation of young troopers here at Fort Benning and then out to our Army. Thank you again.
Sir, go ahead, sir.
Yes, I mean, first off, thanks for having us on the show. And as you know, your show here is really focused at those, you know, soldiers and military folks that are in the process of transitioning out. So to all of them, hey, thanks for choosing to serve in a time of war, right? So if you're getting ready to transition out of this, you know, the military right now, you joined the military most likely while we were at war, and your willingness to do that and shoulder an incredible burden on behalf of the American people is incredibly important. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that as you went through your adult life. And then as you transition and get out back into the civilian world, remember, you're part of the connectivity between the people in whose name we fight and an army at war. And so remember, we're not better than the American people. We are part of the American people, and help tell our story and connect us to the American people and the American people to their army.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to say thanks to Major General Patrick Donahoe and Sergeant Major Derry Garter for being with us today. It's unbelievable. I hope you're all listening. I'm Jack Attilly, 12th Sergeant Major Army. You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast. And thank you for listening today. Please visit us on our website, yournextmission.org, and leave me a review. You can also visit our partners who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. You can also visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available. Please know we want to help you or assist you any way that we can. And please follow us on social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And thanks again to Major General Patrick Donahoe and Sergeant Major Derek Gardner for being on Your Next Mission podcast. It was great having you on the podcast. Don't forget, I want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. I want to end each podcast with a little story about me and my experiences in Army life. And we heard some great soldiers today. But I grew up as a poor kid. The last place I lived in a duplex. I lived in a laundry room. It was just big enough to put a bed in, just big enough to, I had three shelves, and I'll never forget, I had three shelves. I put my clothes on, and I picked my feet up and closed the door, and I had a little vent I'd look out. And I lived there for about 2.5 years when I was going to high school. And, I don't even know why I went in the Army. My parents or nobody was in the service. I think my dad was in for about 3 years, and he got out, and he was the only one, But I went in the Army at a time of war during Vietnam. It was a long time ago. But I would tell you, the Army changed my life. I was so fortunate to be a soldier, and I was so fortunate to serve. And so if you're looking at having a career that will give you so much, and you can give so much to this country, join the military. I love the Army. I want you to join the Army, but if you don't, I understand. The other thing I'll tell you is June 14th is our Army's birthday. And I want every veteran, every service member, everybody that wants to celebrate their birthday, wear a hat that says Army and say stuff about the Army and tell people about, you know, what our Army is doing. You know, it's not just about you. It's about our Army. It's about our country. It's about a way of life that people just don't understand sometimes. So I just, again, I appreciate you guys being on the podcast. And again, thanks again for listening. And thanks to Cloudcast Media and, of course, our three presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. See you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.